Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and over to which way? Yonder, that way, is a one Mr. Brian E. Roach. And Brian, yeah, he's doing the little wave. I guess they got the 40 composite points in this game, but nowhere near the prediction that I had. Nowhere near Orlando Scandrick. Hey, you know what? If you didn't hear the pregame show, I was pulling back on this wild runaway. Other than the points, I still thought, hey, there's still a possibility here where this game could be trouble, and not necessarily trap game trouble, but because I don't believe that they're looking ahead to the Bengals, just because I believe they're gassed from the Titans play really tough physical football. The Ravens play really tough physical football, but we'll get into some of that. But aside from it, 8-0 Pittsburgh Steelers, 24-19 victory. A win is a win is a win. How are you doing, my friend?
I am awesome.
You're awesome.
This has been a fantastic set of 4 days for me. I jumped off the damn hotel, as you know.
Twice.
Day and night.
That didn't look so bad, by the way. Like, I'd be almost terrified of doing that, but it actually didn't look so bad. Was it like a GoPro they had fixed on there?
It's a GoPro on your arm. GoPro on your. It's like a wrist camera.
Gotcha.
That I had on my arm.
This was Las Vegas, the Stratosphere Hotel.
Yeah, the Stratosphere Hotel, Las Vegas. The only time that if you're gonna get scared, I guess, and this is where my brother got scared when he did it. The only place you get scared is when you walk right out to the lip and you look straight down, and it's 855 feet straight down. I was like, no, can I go? I want to go. Let me jump.
I noticed they didn't even have the safety harness ready yet, and I was like, well, yeah, so long. Happy trails, Brian.
And they're like, okay, grab onto this, do that, and do the other thing. And I'm like, all right, when can I go? And they warned me in advance. They said, we're going to count to 1, 2, 3, and you really have to go when we say 3. And I've watched other people do it that didn't go when they say 3. And then they end up lowering them so that their feet, because they can't jump, and they'll lower them until they're like lying that way.
No, that's bad. You got to go on 2. It's like Lethal Weapon.
I'm just like, go.
3 and go. Is it 3 and go or yeah. on
1,
on
2,
three.
Go.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the Leo Getz thing. Whatever Leo wants, Leo Getz. Whatever we want, I guess we get. Figuratively, all the rest of Steelers Nation was ready to jump off buildings everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, I was saying my Buckeyes won. It wasn't a pretty game at Rutgers. It should have been a blowout, much more so than it was. But I'll live with it. It's fine. Shiano knows them. It's not like he wasn't a Buckeye coach for a little while. And then we get this game. Hey, was it beautiful? Was it pretty? Are any of them going to be beautiful and pretty? Yes, they all are, because they all end in a W. I can't do the W. There it is. W.
Where am I at in the camera here? W. It's hard. I got this app. If you could see it, I got
They're
like
all
a microphone.
A W.
I'm glad you brought up the Rutgers game, because it had it was like the Cowboys special teams. Is it John Fossil that's mm-hmm. over there now? He's always the guru of these special teams things. And
that stupid throwback play,
it's like
yeah.
they watched the Ohio State Rutgers game and stole that play right from the night before. I was like, are you kidding me? And I thought there was a block in the back, maybe even two. And in fact, Tony Romo's there looking for it on the replay, and he goes, there it is, right at the inception of it. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, maybe not. You know what? If Justin Lane just sells it and falls instead of staying on his feet, then he probably gets the hanky thrown in his direction. Overall, though, you know, I trashed Tony Corrente prior to this. I'll have a few things to say, because I do believe on both sides, for the most part, aside from this first drive when we start getting into this, there was a play there that I wasn't happy with, a no call, no decision there with Chase Claypool. I thought he got corralled around the waist, almost a waist lock. And there was another deep ball somewhere in the game, too, where it was like, ah, that was uncatchable. Well, he grabbed him first and then tackled him. And it's like, when you got a guy that's whatever speed and such size and maybe can lay out for the ball even as a last ditch, you can never say that none of these – it's not like that ball went all the way into the stands in the third row or something. Right. I still think another – if he hasn't slowed down just a step, I mean, it's you can't say that. I think it was ridiculous at the most part. Maybe if you don't call pass interference, how are you not calling like holding on the offense or something? At least there should have been something given there. But let's.
I've let them both go. And do you know why I've let them both go? Because of consistency. Consistency. Mm-hmm. That was all. That's all I've ever asked for from the stupid refs. Be consistent. If you're going to suck on one side of the ball, suck on the other side too. And they have. They were, their calls or non-calls were equally awful all the way around. So I never even got my gif out. I never got my gif out. I never even had a ref stink gif the whole game. Why? Because of that.
Well, I wasn't going to get into the officiating first thing, but I will say there was a hold on Eric Ebron that was probably about as blatant as you can get. He got his money's worth and then some during that point in the game. There was a shot to Ben Roethlisberger in the head. Finally, Big Ben gets a call there.
He never gets that call.
And you know what? You cannot touch the quarterback in the head. I mean, it's just – or any player, really, hands to the face mask, anything like that. But that one in particular was a very, very – I don't know. There was no middle ground there. There was no letting that one go.
No, I agree. Look, it's – the officiating was – I get, as I said, it was consistent at least. The blatant, what really drove me more crazy than anything else was Tony Romo attempting to convince through, I don't know, osmosis or something, the refs of other calls that they missed by saying, that was a penalty, or maybe it wasn't, or that was kind of ticky-tack, or maybe it wasn't. Just stop being a homer. God, he was such a homer this game.
Oh, right out the gate, man.
I couldn't take it. I mean, I defended Tony Romo last week when you were like, I'm sick of Tony Romo. I was like, he's all right. But no, he shouldn't be allowed to call Cowboys games. He's too much of a homer.
No, I said that as soon as the game started. I forgot what exactly he said. Oh, it was was it a first down? And they were like, oh, did he really get it? And it was like by two yards.
I don't know.
And then there was something. There was the Garrett Gilbert one. We'll get into that. There was a flag that was thrown in Garrett Gilbert. It was after the interception, and he thought it was coming back. And I'm like, just shut up. And I know it's more annoying.
I tweeted that much more graphically than you just said it. But yes, I tweeted that.
It's annoying because I know we're emotionally invested with our team in particular. Maybe it just doesn't, you know, tighten the screws as much if you're watching a different game. But this one was, I don't know. There was instances of Ben coming out with his gippy knee. He says that. Like, come on, man. That's just absolutely ridiculous. But let's start with the start of this game. And I'm gonna bring this up right away. Where the heck was James Conner? It seems like whenever there's a problem with an NFC East team or any team, what's our magic formula? You got to get like 20, 25 touches from these guys. And you didn't. You got 9 carries out of James Conner for 22 yards against the worst rush defense in the NFL.
Well,
and
let's stop right there, though, because that's not the defense they played.
No, not necessarily. And what am I looking for here? Gallimore. Yeah. He was a monster, and that's a guy we talked about in the draft process years ago.
And this is one of the things I'll give Romo credit for. He mentioned it. They played a completely different scheme than they've been playing against the Steelers, and the Steelers tried to run into it. And when you've got 4 guys lined up in the middle of that line like they were, you're not going to run into that. Ben actually made some mistakes, I think, where he left them in those run calls when he shouldn't have. But nonetheless, yeah, they didn't run the ball well, and they didn't adjust to – that's the one adjustment I don't feel they made at halftime. They didn't adjust to the fact that Dallas was playing a different front than I think they expected.
Oh, no, that's – but still, you didn't get the touches there. Conner, 2 targets, 2 catches for minus 2 yards. You're not getting the touches there at all. Anthony McFarland, 2 for 15. I said you would see some of Benny Snell. He had 3 attempts for 1 yard, including we'll come up with the snoozer of 4th and 1 or whatever. That was not Benny Snell football that we want to see. I'm like, why is McFarlane out here? Why is Snell out here? Why you're getting Deontay Johnson and Claypool gets in a little bit. But it was just more or less they did not establish the run, and then they were trying the cutesy little screens. And at the beginning when they didn't establish the run, it was like the most predictable – I keep bringing this up as a disciple of Jim Tressel and that Ohio State offense and going back to Youngstown State, my alma mater. It was like Who were we listening to? They were saying it the week before with like the Ravens. What, the dive play, up the middle. That's like A gap, A gap to the left, A gap to the right. Do something different, please. I mean, this is annoying me. So that's exactly, the Steelers get the ball to start this game. And it didn't feel like, it felt like the offense stinketh. And I think this hurt the defensiveth. I mean, it stinketh. And Jordan Berry had a 34-yard stinketh punt to finish that right there. It was, let me see here. James Conner left for 3 yards. Roethlisberger not being able, and a lot of like dropsies and balls that weren't on the mark and stuff too. And some of that maybe because of the aforementioned gimpy knee or whatever. But thank God he's doesn't appear to be anything serious. We don't know that for sure at this point. But he played through the game. You would think, it affected
him. Post game that he was fine.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, it's like Conner left guard 3 yards, Conner up the middle 6 yards, Conner up the middle for 2 yards on 3rd and 1. They actually got that deep pass for Deontay Johnson that didn't connect. That almost got picked, actually, right at the beginning there. And Benny Snell, they put him in because they've been running Conner. Okay. And he gets 3 yards. And they tried to go for Claypool on 3rd and 7. And that was the one where I felt he got grabbed by the jersey, then grabbed around the waist, and they let it go. And you're irritated with it. It's like, okay, we're going to keep this tight, whatever. And then Garrett Gilbert comes out, and he orchestrates this drive that's 12 plays, 65 yards. It starts on Dallas's own 15-yard line, and it ends in a field goal. Now, you had a couple of okay plays in here, but you had some third down. You had a 3rd and 2 that was a 32-yard pass from a guy from the Alliance of American Football who was on the Cleveland Browns practice squad.
It was a nice pass.
This is the thing I was trying to get with and nothing against Orlando. Orlando was so down on this team, and he said they were, you know, basically an onside kick and an overtime away from being 0-8 heading into this. And he's not wrong. And he said they had so many things that were going wrong. But you remember when the Steelers had some bad seasons, Tomlin started – that's how Cam Hayward originally started getting some playing time. And you had Jason Worlds and some other guys that weren't necessarily getting their opportunity. He started benching the guys that just weren't, you know, given to – sheets to the wind or whatever to this and they're not invested. They're not emotionally invested. They're not hustling, whatever be the case. And the wide receiver group for this team, Ezekiel Elliott, these type of things still, I said, there's enough support there for Garrett Gilbert to not really screw up and maybe keep this game tight if the Steelers offense comes out and they're flat the way that they are, that they had been, and they were. And it was not good because now you have, after that, 3-0, Dallas goes up. Benny Snell comes in. Well, first you have Ben throw a stinker of a pass to Conner that loses 4 yards. Benny Snell, right tackle for -2 yards. Little short pass to Deontay Johnson, which this is something they were trying to work. And it finally worked later in the game, but it was like, let's see if we can get these guys in some space, especially Deontay, because he breaks ankles. But they weren't doing the same thing necessarily with Conner. They were giving him – they were like negative plays. Or Johnson, they were getting tackled right on the spot. And they just weren't making up a whole lot of ground here. Now you concede the ball back to Dallas. It's already the second quarter, all this clock that got chewed. And you force a 3-and-out. The Steelers end up getting the ball on their own 30. You have a nice little play to Anthony McFarland. Juju gets involved. McFarland again. I'm like, well, this is odd. You went from Conner to Snell and now McFarland. I mentioned maybe you kind of work these guys in. They don't have the bye weeks, little rest. Guys are worn out, beat up. But, man, it seemed early, okay? It was like the McFarland show here. Short right to McFarland, 8 yards. Right tackle for 1 yard. 3rd and 1. McFarland up the middle, no gain. Let's bring Benny Snell back in. Not James Conner. Let's bring Benny Snell in, who doesn't get any type of gain there at all. Once again, a tackle. Is it Nate Gallimore? Now I'm trying to think what his first name is. It always says...
I don't know.
I
don't even care enough to look it up.
Neville Gallimore. That's what it was. It was stuck in my brain.
Neville? The only Neville I know is Neville Longbottom. From Harry Potter. That's Harry Potter. It's the only other Neville I've ever heard of.
They have a Leighton Vander Esch. He was in
we know about him.
And Randy Gregory, who I'd actually forgotten about, he had just gotten reinstated, just like Mr. Big Checks or whatever that's, you know, playing the Sunday night game as we're recording. So, Yeah, so the Steelers lose the ball there on the 35, which you go for it there. I mean, you're going to have Boswell kick. You wouldn't think so at this point, right? He's never kicked that far, 53-yarder the previous long that he's had. And what's a punt doing for you here? Even if Barry does his previous long of 31, hey, you got to hope it drops and doesn't fly into the end zone, and then you just get it at the 20, and you're only talking about a 15-yard shift, really. So you may as well just go for it. So I don't fault this. I don't have a problem with this here. I just thought the play calling for the third down and the fourth down were a little unimaginative.
I have a problem with the fourth down run. This is where I'm talking about. Ben should have been looking at that and gotten him out of the run. He should have seen the front that was there and gotten him out of the run. There was no excuse to make a run that had no chance of getting that first down on that play. I don't fault the initial play call of it. I don't fault going for it. I agree with both of those things. My criticism of that is I think Ben should have gotten him out of it.
No, I cannot disagree with you there. And then what it does is this sets up the Cowboys for this huge, huge 8-play, 65-yard touchdown drive. Oh, my goodness. It's Garrett Gilbert runs free for 15 yards. Then an incomplete pass, and he runs free for 11 yards. And you're like, can somebody just take his head off? You're talking about the Steelers doing this. Well, Ezekiel Elliott didn't practice all week. You didn't think he was a game-time decision. And they have Tony Pollard come in, and Tony Pollard gashes them a couple times for some big plays. But you have Garrett Gilbert, a 16-yard chunk to Schultz, the tight end. Let's see, Garrett Gilbert to Michael Gallup, incomplete. I'm sorry. Then the deep pass, CeeDee Lamb for the touchdown, where it looked like I think was it TJ in coverage there?
Yes, it was TJ Watt.
Nobody filled in behind him, and I think that fill-in would have been Joe Hayden in that case. Hayden had
peeled off to take somebody going across.
Yes, and there was something else here. Now the Steelers, down 10-0, go 3-and-out again. Yeah. Connor, good 6-yard gain, but again, predictable. First down, run. Left tackle, 1 yard. This is like the opposite of Todd Haley. Todd Haley was like, let's pass on first down, run on second. And Randy Fickner's like, let's run on the first two downs. Let's not run any play action whatsoever, and let's throw on third down.
I think they ran one play action pass during this game. I swear to God, I saw it.
Yeah, and then Jordan Berry booms one for 62 yards. Some type of penalty here, and then Dallas. They get the ball. Let's see, on the Steelers. So the Steelers booted. Oh, this was the big return. This was a boom of a punt. And then the lateral, which was like the Rutgers play from the night before, Ohio State and Rutgers, where he throws the ball across the field. And it was 83 yards returned down to the Steelers 31. And then they hold him to a 3-and-out. And it's a four. Greg Zuerlein, who they paid an awful lot of money, Jerry Jones did, to do what he does. And that's kick field goals, 44-yarder. It's now 13-0. There is now about 3.5 minutes left in the half, and you're just starting to think to yourself, is this really happening? Am I in an alternate reality or dimension or something like that?
Look, you know, I didn't get to talk to you on the pregame, and while I don't believe in trap games, and there's no good reason that the Steelers shouldn't have beaten up on this team, here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to beat up on anybody. I think they can win every game. I think they're probably better teams. They're a better team than most of the teams they're going to play, if not all of them. But I'm not sure they're going to run away from anybody, except obviously the Browns. But, you know, I don't know. The way this team is made up, and, you know, when things click, they're unstoppable. And when things don't click, man, they look like a hot mess. It's just that simple. Drop passes, bad passes, you know, runs that go nowhere, bad play calling. I will say this. I am at the point where I just want Ben to call his own damn plays.
It really, you know, people used to say the same thing about Peyton Manning, and he was custom built to be an offensive coordinator. I kind of wonder if there is a future in coaching with Roethlisberger.
If he wants to do it.
Segwaying there or something. It's just odd to me. I guess it's just the NFL. You know, the coaches are of short lifespans anyway. Very few at any level there. Happens in college too. I mean, you get some college guys that are just, you know, the old battle axe and they never go away. But in the NFL, it's like some teams, they make that change in the middle. Well, we have head coaching changes right now in the NFL, mid-season, early season, stuff like that. But I'm just saying, it's like you go from Ken Wisenhunt, who has kicked the can just about everywhere ever since leaving the Steelers. He's Todd Haley, who's just, you know, he's working with a high school right now. He was with the Browns, and everybody thought he was going to get like a head coaching job somewhere because he used to be the head coach of the Chiefs and Bruce Arians, and you know, he's been all over too. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think you're ever going to make anyone happy. I think it's a very difficult job altogether.
It is a difficult job, but there is a lack of imagination that becomes apparent when you're 8 games in with Randy Fichtner's play calling.
Steelers are not going to make that move or that jump.
Oh, I agree. They're not going to. They're not going to change that.
If he's under a 3-year contract, which is highly likely, 3 years, his replacement, as many as speculated, could already be there in Matt Canada.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'm not actually calling for them to change coordinator.
No, not yet.
I'm just saying let Ben call the plays.
Well, I think some of the plays, it's the good times and the bad, the not-for-long leak. Chase Claypool doesn't get waist-locked and they complete that, then all of a sudden you're not having a conversation about Randy Fichtner. You're probably talking about 7-0 right out the gate and a different type of momentum and swing. And instead, you're gnashing teeth. You were talking about it on Twitter. I have no fingernails there. Put them in a pile. Did you see they're all bloody?
Well, to be fair, that was Pittsburgh Dad who brought that up.
But oh, was it?
He brought it up and said, remember when we used to have fingernails? And I said, no, I don't.
And hair.
Well,
you got
I got
a little
that.
More of that going on than I do. But anyways, 13-0, you're like, come on, do something. It's like the meme with the stick. You're the guy poking the thing with the stick. Do something, poking the Steelers helmet or logo. And you finally get some first downs. You get the 2-minute warning. Still can't connect with Claypool deep. Steelers end up taking a timeout. 3rd and 6, you're just like, oh, geez. Gets one to Ebron finally. It's not Butterfingers here. Claypool ran out of bounds again, gets some 10 yards or getting some chunks here. Then he finds James Washington in a play that's very training camp-esque. This is peak training camp James Washington, corner, end zone, untouchable combat catch, TD type stuff. And then Chris Boswell misses the field goal. And you're like, he's kicking out. Defend him here. In some sense, the Cowboys defer. The Steelers pick a side. So they decided to not go into the sun first, you know.
Right.
And then it's going to get the sun's going to set, and that's not going to be a problem probably for the second half. But the second quarter, that was right in his face. You could see it even on TV.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look. He's going to miss a couple things. And the block, that's not on Chris Boswell. The block extra point's not on Chris Boswell.
And either one of those changes the complexion of this game as well. Because if you don't miss either one of those, then they've got a lead at different points or at least a tie when you get later into this game. So that's kind of unfortunate in and of itself. Let's see here. Cowboys. Good old Garrett Gilbert to CeeDee Lamb. For 14 yards, and the old Cam Sutton punching the ball out, and it goes and the little hop to this beautiful grown-ass man right here.
Minka
Fitzpatrick. You know what? I hadn't worn my Minka jersey all season yet, and you know my superstition. I got to wear what the team's wearing, and I said Dallas is going to be wearing white at home, so this one was coming out. I'm waiting for the next road game because I haven't gotten to wear Joe Hayden with my road jersey yet this year, but I think I've Devin Bush, I think I wore earlier. I have a Terrell Edmonds. I usually pick up the rookies. Those are all my homes. I have Ben already and somebody else. I don't remember. I got so many in the closet, but I try to rotate everyone. Oh, TJ Watt. So I try to rotate through them. I'm like, this is a Minka game. Next week, I think it's going to be a TJ game. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyways, the Steelers.
I can't change. I got to stay 11. I got to stay with what I got. I can't change
it's
until.
It's working for you.
Yeah, they're 8-0. I can't change.
He doesn't know what it's like to lose.
Yeah.
And he made most of his college picks as well. So he was on the college game day thing. Chase Claypool was. Steelers he went like 8-12 or something like that. He did pretty well with that. Yeah, they had him on Saturday. So because it was Notre Dame and Clemson, right?
Yep.
So yeah, they had him on as the Notre Dame guy as part of that pregame, whatever you call it. Built by somebody who does not sponsor this show and does not get a mention here. plus orange is my favorite color, but I'd never be caught dead with it, by the way, because of the Browns and Bengals, the kitty cats. So anyway, Steelers have less than a minute to operate, 52 seconds here, and they do take a shot here. And Chris Boswell kicks a 54-yard field goal into the sun and misses, but a dead ball foul.
And
Thank you.
The whining that occurred from the Dallas crowd. Oh, the whining. Well, that's not fair. It should be. That should know. Even Tony Romo's like, well, I don't know. And then some guy on Twitter is like, they could just cheat then. The people can just, you know, they could just jump off sides every time they want to try and kick a field goal. And that way, I'm like, how stupid are you? How stupid are you? You're the stupidest human beings I've ever met. What good does it do? You don't know you're going to miss before you kick it, you idiot.
Not only that, why would you want to make a already longer hard field goal even longer by, and you don't know if you end up making the first try and you have a penalty and you move it back 5 yards and then he misses it. That's usually the way the script goes, right?
I mean, but of course, as I said in my tweet, this is the epitome of the Steelers season. Okay, it wasn't that easy to begin with, but let's make it harder and I'll do it.
59 yards, franchise record. And the people I love, actually, I hate going on Facebook, especially these days. There's just, it just makes me want to beat my head. You know, I'm on Facebook more or less to disseminate this type of stuff to the masses, share pictures of the kid and kittens. And that's about my extent of it. I'm not here to fight with people or see all of these Steelers groups I'm a part of and see in real time how they're crying about the game. And then 2 hours later, the post shows up. It's not like being on Twitter and that stuff disappears. You see it and then it's like a freezing cold take later. And somebody said something about, we need a real kicker. Anyways, third quarter. Oh, by the way, Mason Rudolph got in there too. I forgot to mention that. He orchestrates
this. Just in case
this.
You needed a flashback of the horror that is to come.
In all fairness, and some people are like, well, he runs the Wednesday practice when Ben gets the veteran day off and stuff like that. Yeah, but he doesn't have a full preparation and a full rundown for this team. He's not even warmed up on the sidelines. No. I don't think he's expecting Ben goes in the locker room because he thinks the half is over.
Yes, that Ben goes in the locker room because his knee's hurt.
Well, not only that, his knee is hurt.
They want to check his knee.
They think that the half is over, pretty much. Let's get this guy repaired and get him an extra minute or so. This clock's probably going to run. Probably not expecting the fumble, the strip. By the way, Cam Sutton, grown-ass man, should have had a pick later, too. Everybody wants to crucify Mason Rudolph, and it's just like, maybe let the guy do something other than play like three snaps before you just like throw the dirt on him and bury him.
I don't want to crucify him. I just don't want to see him anymore.
They did the same thing. Did the same thing to Landry Jones.
I was okay with Landry.
And Charlie Batch didn't do anything either. Like, stop it.
I'm not saying we need.
I know you don't disagree. We've done this topic many times.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying. Mason's not the future of the franchise.
But
as soon as they see
that, it's like, oh my God, the game is over. 7-1. This is the stuff. You can go back and see it right now unless they were smart enough to delete it. Most of those folks aren't very bright to begin with, so they probably didn't. So anyways, you get to the third quarter, and the Cowboys get the ball, of course, and take it all the way down the field.
And kick a field goal.
and kick a field goal, 11 plays, 50 yards, almost 4.5 minutes, 4:43 elapsed on the drive. And the Steelers, of course, go 3-and-out. Just makes you feel real good. It's 16-9.
Feeling hot, feeling good.
I'm annoyed. But still, at this point, I'm saying I'm annoyed with this game. I'm not PO'd yet. That's when the fourth quarter comes, and it's still not coming necessarily the Steelers' way, because I think my cousin knew better than to text me. He might have thought I was like on streaming and lagging behind a play or two, as some of us do in the internet age as cord cutters. I had it on the antenna, so it was like, boom. it comes right through. If I'm watching at a bar on the satellite, there's hardly any lag. But you had that same thing if you follow some of the beat writers and stuff, the people that are in the stadium, they could spoil some things for you too if you're paying too close. And I don't like it. I don't like seeing too much of a trailer of a movie, and then I'm like, I just saw all the best parts. Like, this is kind of ridiculous. So anyways, three and out. And now Greg Zuerlein's going to go down and kick another field goal after a 12-play, 53-yard drive that took up 6 minutes and 26 seconds. But during all this, Brian, I got 1, 2, 3 between these drives, the two drives that bookend this crappy three and out that didn't even take 2 minutes. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 first downs. Let's see, third and two where Tony Pollard gets 20 yards. You've got a third and five where Tony Pollard gets 12 yards. I almost thought Tony Pollard, I thought they switched it. They did the switcheroo, and the wrong guy was wearing the wrong jersey there. Ezekiel Elliott picks up a first down for 16 yards. It's like, Steelers, what you doing here, buds? CeeDee Lamb, third and two, five-yard little catch there. Just come on, guys. What are you doing? And finally, they make some stops here. There was some talk about this. Was Tyson Alualu that big of a loss? Devin Bush, obviously. Also, Mike Hilton not playing in this game. Yeah, there's three defensive starters. Yeah. So there's tip your cap a little to some of the problem, okay?
Yeah.
There's some fill-ins there.
Now, let me just say this. Before you go too much further past this drive of the second field goal, Mike McCarthy has no balls. None.
Fourth and one.
He's got a mangina. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just out. That is the most. The game is on the line. The Steelers, and admittedly, Tomlin had admitted that he didn't try and kick a field goal at the end of the game because he wasn't feeling comfortable with it. It was like, I'm not feeling comfortable with that. So he tries to end the game by going for it on fourth and one. Fourth and one, the way they've been playing, the way Dallas had been moving the ball, and it's not even fourth and one. It was fourth and like 2.5 inches. And McCarthy's like, I can't do it. No, let's go for the field goal. They go for a touch. They get that there. We're not as happy as we are right now.
No, most likely not. I don't. It didn't seem anything was giving them a kick in the pants here. And there's, let's see. The Steelers get this. Now they're down. They're down 10, 19-9, and you're going to be entering the fourth quarter. And they're aided a little bit here on this drive. He did finally get Juju. They had their longest play, 20 yards, finally on offense here with a minute 28. Clock ticks. Clock ticks. Randy Gregory offside enforced, and then all of a sudden it's the old one step forward, two steps back because Eric Ebron mugged. Who'd he get? It doesn't say. Is it Sean Lee, maybe? I think that's who he got. He mugged Sean Lee. Mugged Sean Lee and then turns around and catches the ball. And it was like, hey, just disregard what just happened here. Nothing to see. So now you're down to first and 15. And Ben just says, you know what? Screw this. he gets Juju for 9, second and 6. So they picked a little bit of this back up. 31-yard touchdown pass. And then Randy Gregory gets into a little commotion here. And I don't know, was the Leighton Vander Esch thing before or after this? But some people were like, throw him out. If you're dumb enough to punch somebody in the helmet, I think that's punishment enough on top of the 15 yards.
Well, and I'll be fair. He didn't actually punch him. It was an open-hand blow.
Like a slap
it was
something.
Like and – And again, to be fair, Anthony McFarland was giving him the business with the face and the face mask prior. But as they always say,
retaliator.
Retaliator is the one that gets caught.
And third man in all the time.
Two wrongs do not make a right. Just because Anthony McFarland was being a little aggressive with the hand, go and get away from me, Leighton Vander Esch, does not give Leighton Vander Esch the right to swipe at him. So and it was blatant. It was right there in front of the ref. Everybody could see it on the screen. And you're like, yeah, you're going to get flagged for that.
Yeah, it's way late after the fact. And that's what made it look so like above and beyond probably what it even was.
Yep.
And, you know, the tempers are flaring and whatnot. And, now you got Randy Gregory. They tack on this penalty on the kickoff, and you really wouldn't know it. It's just another 64-yard kick return.
Special teams was
bad.
Terrible. It was
bad.
Terrible today.
And I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, they had Derek Watt was back. Jordan Dangerfield was back. The only guy who didn't play is the new guy, Avery Williamson.
Yeah.
Everybody that was active played, including, I mentioned Carlos Davis was probably going to get some time there today, and he did. And he had a nice tackle somewhere in the mix of all these things. Probably missed it. We try to go play by play and pull from our memory banks here, and I don't remember where it was. But anyways, you're still like, okay, come on, defense. Do something here. You're going to do something here. And for some, the Cowboys are like, we're not going to let Garrett Gilbert kill us. We're going to keep running the ball, exactly as you said. He had Mike McCarthy had no guts here. They ran three straight times with Zeke, 5-10, 2 yards. Then he finally throws a pass, swatted by T.J. Watt. And then they go for it again. Cedric Wilson here, picked by Minka Fitzpatrick. And then some people are saying, hey, Minka, just touchback there, buddy. Always trying to make the Troy thing happen there. And I get excited, obviously, too. But the guy is a magnet for the ball. And everybody's like, where's he been? Well, the ball bounces his way somehow, some way. And he's always seems to be lightning speed aware of where that ball is. So the Steelers get the ball back on their own 1 yard line. And they get a little bit of help here, finally, because here's the first one. They run this play to Deontay Johnson. Didn't work. It was in the dirt. And I'm like, they're trying to do this. Let him wriggle free, break some tackles, get some breathing room. So instead, they'd run the same exact play, this time to Ray-Ray McCloud. They went right back to the same exact thing. Yep. And now they're running a no-huddle offense. Ben finds Chase Claypool. I'm like, just protect the ball, buddy. Ray-Ray McCloud gets involved again. Deontay Johnson finally gets involved here, 9 yards. Claypool again, 14 yards. You had Alden Smith offsides there. And then Ben was looking for Claypool as he gets mugged in the middle of the field. And it's just – and I thought that was a good call. And they were – you know, Tony Romo was, of course, second-guessing it. So it was just kind of like, what are you looking at there, bud? You know what I mean? I just it drives me crazy because I thought Jalen Smith, it was pretty fairly obvious that he knocked Claypool on his rear end. And Tony Romo is trying to say that Claypool just ran into him and fell. Like, that one was, I think, vindicated. You heard some boo birds. I think there were more boo birds for the hands of the face, the Ben thing, than there was this one. I think this was a justified penalty. I know we've cried about penalties, make or break, or just whatever with consistency. But this felt like one that if they let that one go, then you have a real gripe. Because then the ball gets turned over, et cetera, when that's exactly where the ball was going.
Yep. Yeah, there's no question about it. Look, as I said, what they called were blatant penalties that they had no choice but to call. They left almost everything else that was maybe borderline or maybe could be interpreted in a different way. They just didn't call it. And as long as they're going to do that on both sides of the ball, I don't have a problem with it. All I can ask from the refs is consistency. This is the rare occasion when I felt like we got it for the most part. Tony Romo's not happy with it, but I don't care. He can go drink his Corona beer and shit.
Oh, you're talking about, I don't know what's more annoying. Those commercials or the one with Baker Mayfield pretending that
was more annoying.
Yeah, the First Energy Stadium or whatever in Cleveland is his actual home.
Look, Tony Romo played for several years in the league, and he's a genial individual, right? He's not a totally dislikable human being. Baker Mayfield hasn't done crap and doesn't deserve all these damn commercials. I'm sorry.
You know what's pretty funny, though, is Tony's counterpart is Snoop Dogg on the other end of those commercials.
Yes, that's
it's
true.
Like a little polar opposite there, maybe. I don't know. Like Snoop's really into football, though. He's a youth coach.
Let me just say this. What time does Jim Nantz go to bed?
He doesn't sleep. He's a lizard person.
No. Did you not hear that comment towards the end of the game? Anybody who stayed up for this game.
Oh.
I'm like, it's 7:30 at night. What the hell?
And they're an hour behind in Dallas.
Yes.
It's only like 6:30
there. It's 6:30
there.
It's 6:30 in the evening. Grandpa, look, I'm old man. I'm old. I ain't ready to go to bed. You grandpa, Jim Nance, what the hell?
He needs his tea and his whatever else that you crumpets or whatever. So
I got to give sports loving Melissa a Twitter follower out there the props on that. She also caught it. She tweeted about it before I could. But
oh, some people are quick on the Twitter there, Brian. You're just
I know
you're a different generation. So
I don't understand that.
Boswell hits a you get some balls tipped at the line and stuff for that nature, and Boswell hits a 43-yarder. It's 19-18. There's about half of the quarter left for the game to go. 7-11 when the Cowboys get the ball. There's a touchback. Thank God there's no return. Somebody was smart. Now it's, I'm starting to feel this defense might do something. It's 3rd and 1. Ezekiel Elliott pulls the whole pile with him because they got 9 yards from Amari Cooper on the previous play. Starting to annoy it. Now I go from annoying to starting to get angry and wanting to throw things and, pop the heads off of people by squeezing their neck tight enough. And Tony Pollard's doing some stuff here, and they end up forcing a punt. And it's like Mike McCarthy must feel really good about this right now. And to be completely honest, now there was heat. There was definitely heat on Garrett Gilbert here, and that's the reason why he didn't connect with Cooper. But Cooper was still open. Cooper almost got that on Sutton. I mean, Sutton played it as tight as you can against a player like Cooper. So
yeah.
I can't fault either one of them there, just being professionals doing what they're paid to do. The new punter ends up booting at 39 yards, and let's see Ben do some magic with 4:11 to go. Incomplete pass. Incomplete pass. But we get a roughing the passer now. And that's the one we were talking about. And it was Jalen Smith again, who commits the crime, got to do the time here. So unfortunately for him, the Steelers, who you do not want to give new life, is Ben Roethlisberger when the game's on the line. Yep. And then Ben starts connecting. 9 yards of Chase Claypool. Then he gets a short left to Deontay Johnson, who finally breaks some ankles and gets free for 42 yards, including where they wanted to look and see if he stepped out, and nobody even questioned it. And we're going to get
to this. Except for Tony Romo.
Yeah, and we'll get this in a second because this happens on the other with the Cowboys too, almost like the same type of camera angle. And Ben caps this off with an 8-yard touchdown pass to Eric Ebron. They are now up the 2-point conversion, which was Tony Romo's like, look, Ben's looking over at him. And I'm like, I'm seeing that too. Why are we telegraphing this? And then he throws it there anyway, and they don't complete it. And you're just you're gnashing at the teeth because it's only a 5-point lead. And the Cowboys are getting the ball back with 8 of the 2-minute warning and all of their timeouts. For this guy to maybe not shoot themselves in the foot, but they still got to go the distance of the field. The Steelers, by the way, went 6 plays, 79 yards there, and aided by the roughing the passer penalty.
And I got to give Eric Ebron his little grown-ass man tight end call for doing that leap. Oh. Eric Ebron, you're a grown-ass man.
Hey,
there you go.
And just by coincidence, even though I didn't get the prediction right for the game in the 40 points, I did put Eric Ebron on the here we go graphic for the game day.
Yes, you did.
Graphic.
I saw that.
So, not just a hat rack. Week before was Cam and Stephon Tuitt too. So, and Ben, I've been pretty good with those. But I rode the wave with Chase Claypool. That was after we had made that prediction here, though, on the first touchdown. So we're still doing pretty. We're doing pretty solid. I'll take the wins as they come, especially when they're the 8 wins the Steelers have. I tweeted this, Brian. I said, I have faith in the defense. I have faith in this defense. When it comes down, push comes to shove, they're going to shove. And Garrett Gilbert feels the heat here.
You know I want to say it. We're not there yet, so I can't.
We're not quite. I don't know. Do I have to go through all these? A little short pass. The first one's 14 yards, 2-minute warning. Incomplete pass to Schultz, incomplete pass to Lamb. Short right to Ezekiel Elliott for only 2 yards. They have to burn a timeout, 4th and 8. You know it's coming.
Cam Hayward is a grown-ass man. Grown-ass man.
So is TJ
Big,
Watt,
gigantic grown-ass man.
They said, let's meet at Gilbert.
Yes.
Let's meet at the corner of Gilbert and the point of that star in the middle of the field. Almost. They weren't quite. They were at the 41. But
before we move past this, I mean, TJ was great. TJ is TJ, right? But Cam was Cam today. Cam was just abusing the people in front of him. He was collapsing that pocket often. And it was a beautiful thing to see. I was very overjoyed.
And Tuitt was having a solid game.
Tuitt was very good, too. He had a nice sack, too.
I mean, Bud and TJ were trying to get in there. I thought at any moment they might swipe that ball. I just didn't get it today. In fact, what was the sack total? It wasn't
two.
Was it two?
Two sacks. Boy. Half for Hayward, half for TJ, and one for Tuitt.
There you go. No. Alex Highsmith.
Oh, that's right. One for Alex Highsmith. Oh, I'm sorry, Rook.
Early
I'm sorry, 56. I even tweeted out when you did it. And I'm thrilled for you, young man. Now you got an interception and you got your first sack.
Unfortunately, I didn't tweet the same thing about having faith in the offense. And James Conner's finally back out there. 2 yards, 3 yards. Beautiful. Beautiful play call, the handoff, the Claypool, a nice little misdirection.
Chase screwed that up. I'm sorry.
And he tweets it out too. I will never slide again. He was trying to stay in bounds, but was short of the mark.
Slid too soon.
Should have dove.
Yeah.
Should have dove.
Dove straight or just run straight. Yeah, it was. I was like, oh, Chase, you
almost down by his
game.
Own power. Just run.
Yeah. It's a give up.
And then, just kind of fall in the middle of the field or something like that. And, you know, just make sure you get the sticks first. But, hey, young man's going to make some young man mistakes. It's okay.
It's all right. I still love him.
I have a bigger problem with fourth and one. And some people are like, hey, I don't have a problem going for it, being aggressive.
Neither do I. I don't have a problem with that.
5 points. 5 points separate you. I mean, I'm not feeling that the Cowboys are going to – you're now down to 40. This ball gets snapped at 43. You're under a minute as you're approaching a minute or so as this decision is made. You're not going to chew any more clock. If you miss a field goal, this is the Dallas 15, Brian.
I understand that.
This is a 35-yard field goal. The guy just made a 59-yard franchise record. There's no sunlight anymore.
And that almost got blocked.
That's true, too. So, I mean, I guess that plays into your decision-making here.
That's why I'm 100% confident that is why Tomlin is not making that kick.
I'm glad we talked this through.
Yeah, he got one kick blocked. He got close on another one. Their special teams had been all over us all day, the way their special teams had been playing. I don't blame him. I wouldn't have kicked it either.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say much else with that because I would have much rather been up 8 than 5. They should have really been up 7 with the missed point after or the blocked.
And that's different. If they were up 7 right then they kicked the field goal now it's out of reach. It's a two-score game. Going up between 5 and 8, it's still a one-score game.
Yeah, and I guess you want to cut the head of the snake right here and call it a day and just not a good play call
to do it on is a mistake. Again, they didn't learn from the beginning of the game that those plays weren't working.
Yeah, it didn't work with Benny Snell football right away earlier, and we had mentioned another one at some point that didn't get enough ground. Anthony McFarland didn't get it, and let's try everyone. Well, we'll finally give James his chance here, and he loses 4 yards, and I don't know if it's an offensive line problem or just play design problem. Or
they didn't have a good game. The O-line did not have a good game this game.
Yeah, particularly, I think, unfortunately, Alejandro Villanueva from a lot of what I saw.
Yeah,
so,
he had some issues.
So, anyway, I still have faith in the defense.
Yeah.
Except for CeeDee Lamb gets a 32-yard reception to start this thing. For the Dallas 19, they jump up to the middle of the field. And now you got a instant replay review. And what have I been saying for years? Well, this is the same thing with the Deontay Johnson thing we were just referencing. Billion-dollar industry. Billion-dollar stadium. And you still don't have cameras that are straight down the line.
I don't think it matters. I thought that was a good catch. But toes are down. Heels don't have to come down. Once the toes hit, you're good.
Wouldn't it make you feel better to know for sure? I mean, it's like
you're getting... No, because I didn't like the catch. It would have made me feel just as bad.
Wise ass. Anyways, you know, it's just, it still bothers me. It still bothers me that they don't have this to correct all of it. And this is the reason people will say there's a Money Vegas fixed aspect to some of what, and make no doubts about it, other sports have been fixed. I don't want to say necessarily the NFL is. Some people are like, oh, it's like WWE. No, not all 53 players on a roster and all the coaching staff are all in on it. But I tell you what, They did have one referee in the NBA, a very high-profile guy that was shaving points. You had the whole Italian professional soccer league, the Serie A, that had problems. You've had corrupt FIFA people in soccer. And so, obviously, we know boxing fights have been thrown and things of that nature. So, it's just when you don't – it's like, why don't you have the camera angle is more or less my point of this.
And that's
it must be referees union, something or other. We see it eagle-eyed. If I'm a referee, I want my job security and knowing I get it right. So, if it goes to replay, at least you have the proper camera angle that could say yes or no, and then it's not on you, it's on the replay, which of course, just thank God we're not the Chargers, and in some situation like Riveron, they got Riveroned there Riveron. Too, so whew, really bad, my friend. So but Garrett Gilbert after that had TJ breathing down his neck. He had a really crappy pass to Ezekiel Elliott on the sideline on a little out pattern. They backed completely off, let Michael Gallup get a little chunk. They yep. wasted quite a bit of their clock because they had no timeouts left. They go from 23 seconds at the start of that play down to 8 to clock it. What? How did we get from 8 to 7 seconds? Oh, because he spikes it. So he snaps it at 8.
Yeah.
And then the Steelers take a timeout to get on the same page. Cedric Wilson, another little chunk of 6 yards here. Incomplete pass with Minka batting it down. To end yet another game with seconds.
Man, was that deja vu
clocking
or what?
Down. Yeah, it was. And, whew, man, I mean, it makes you nervous because anything can happen, as we said. But, hey, at least it didn't happen. You ain't going to have everybody making fun of you for losing to the Cowboys. That's anybody who follows NFL memes knows.
I got a neighbor across the street team. Who's a Cowboys fan, man. You can't be losing this game because then I'll have to, I mean, he ain't got nothing to crow about all year long. But this he would have to crow about. And you know, I'm glad I don't have to listen to that.
Hey, go ask him. How about them Cowboys?
No. See, I'm very kind. I don't give him crap. Then he doesn't give me crap. It's not that he has anything to give me crap about this year. However, now you mentioned the Cowboys, and boy have I gotten them triggered. The Cowboys fans are all triggered because I said Tony Romo was a homer. And actually, what I said was I wanted to kick Tony Romo in his family jewels. because he shouldn't be allowed to call Cowboys games. And I said, at this point, I just want to go kick him in the you know, the old downstairs area.
The bread box.
Yeah, the bread box. There you go. And apparently that was just very, very upsetting to the Cowboy faithful, who I don't even understand why they're even – paying any attention to me. They always want to troll, I guess.
I don't know. They just, but, you know what? Part of me wishes I would have been able to go to that game today. The other part of me is thankful I did not, because it's like it ends up when I go to a game, it always has to be, with the exception of getting there for the Browns shellacking. They're not always enjoyable, but I think there'll be a dominant game somewhere on the horizon like that. I wouldn't necessarily say the Bengals are that game, but there's some other games.
Don't
still
like
in
them
the
coming off a bye. Don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. Another AFC game. At least it's at home, and I still think it's something manageable. But we'll talk about that later this week. Unless somebody else wants to pop in, I don't know. We might get Vontaze Burf. No, I'll never. I don't think he'd ever be on this show. He's got us blocked, anyways.
Look,
or Pac-Man, or any of those guys.
No, you cannot. You can't bring Vontaze. We have. No, that's dangerous stuff. There, no man.
You know, our friends over at
Family Friendly's going right out the window if that happens. You know that, right?
There's no doubt about it. There is. No doubt about it. I keyed. So it's just, I don't know. Icky Woods might be around or something like that. So
I like Icky.
Icky in the shuffle.
The shuffle?
I saw the coolest tailgate, like one of those buses that had been redone or a van or conversion van. I think it was a bus. I have to ask Ryan about this because he was down in Sensatucky with me last year for that game on the road. Their giant tailgate lot. There's like an old power plant or something. Some of it's been redone to offices, and it's just a huge, huge part. It goes all the way along the river, and it's a real short walk to the stadium there. And somebody had the Icky Shuttle. That was pretty cool. It was done up with graphics and stuff. I was like, man, this is really cool. I'm like, in one way, I want to vomit in my mouth. And in the other way, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, if I was a Bengals fan, that's about the only thing I'd get excited, have to get excited about is the icky shuttle. Probably didn't even go to the game. They just drank right there and left because they knew what was coming. Although last year, man, that was painful for both sides. So you got to hope, you know, I think it'll be a better game. But we'll see. Steelers 8-0. Nothing to worry about. I mean, they lose this game. It was an NFC game, non-conference.
Yeah, wouldn't matter. The next game is more important.
Yes. Get another division win under their belt. They will have beaten all of the teams in their division at least once. Go 3-0 there. And I think that's definitely something that's a heck of a lot more important. So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of other closing notes here. There was 8 tackles for loss by the Steelers here.
Racking up them totals.
TJ Watt had 3 passes defensed. Micah had 2. You had Cam Sutton with the forced fumble and Micah with a fumble recovery for the other miscellaneous statistics. Ben still had completed 69% of his passes, 306 yards. Quietly with 3 touchdowns and a 113.8 rating.
But he's holding them back, Joe. He's holding the team back.
is that either Mr. Madden, not John Madden, the other Madden, the screw off,
or not Colin Dunlap.
I don't know. Colin Coward.
Somebody. I don't know who said it, but he's holding the team back. I don't remember who said it, but it's being repeated repeatedly, and it's annoying me.
Individually, Juju Smith-Schuster, 6 catches, 93 yards and a touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 6 for 77. He was targeted 10 times. Claypool targeted 13 times, caught 8 for 69. Also, very nice statistic there, if I may
69.
Say so. Very nice. Very juvenile, but very nice at the same time. James Washington's only catch was for that touchdown for 17 yards. And I think the rest of it is just goes in the miscellaneous category. We already talked about the struggles with running. The team offense, Steelers. Total first downs, 20 to the Cowboys, 19. Only 2 of those by rushing, 3 by penalty. Not the other way around. Cowboys were not aided by penalties. It's probably why they feel like they may have been cheated just a little bit. Steelers 5 for 13 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down, 2 or 3 trips in the red zone. 355 yards. Cowboys had 364. Hard to believe. Not really. The offense, Steelers' offense was so slow.
Not the way they looked.
Yeah, and rightfully so. If you were to look at this, it's those turnovers that really play a key here. Cowboys, 33 minutes, 24 seconds to the Steelers, 26-36. That is like almost 7 minutes.
That's disparity. Half a quarter.
So you see where the defense gets gassed and you start putting guys out there for the first time, like Carlos Davis that's in because Chris Wormley on IR. Isaiah Bugs was out there, but I know he had been banged up all week. Tyson Alualu has been out, inactive for this game. So you get some things like that. I think we saw a little more of Marcus Allen in that. Maybe in the middle of the week, Brian, we get back together because it was kind of fun to go back through some of the snap counts, talk about some of that stuff. And then they did not feel compelled to put Avery Williamson out there. I feel if this game would have went the way we felt and they started to get like a 3-score lead, we might have seen him get some time out there. He obviously got a helmet, but I don't think they wanted to chance that. And you know what? A very quiet game, but I thought Spilly did all right. He didn't have the Spilly splash, but I saw him make a couple of nice tackles.
Missed a couple tackles. He was not as efficient, let's put it that way. But that's not just him. The defense itself was not nearly as efficient most of the game. They did their jobs at the end. But they got gassed.
There was one in particular. I think he was very aware. It may have been Gilbert squeaking out of there or somebody else out of the backfield. But he was very aware of it and cut it off before it became a big play.
Yeah. He didn't play bad by any means, but he did make some mistakes.
As everybody
does.
Yep, absolutely. Well, my friend, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
I got something I want to leave this with. I'm going to leave you with a happy, joyous note.
Yes.
Saints 28, Buccaneers 0.
Ooh, okay.
Tom Brady, screw you.
Well, we'll see if that ends up holding at this time. And, we're up against it. We're doing this on Sunday night right after the game. So we're getting it right out to you. Appreciate all the views out there in YouTube land, all the listens everywhere else, wherever you happen to listen to the show and your support. It's overwhelming, and that's why I said maybe we'll talk some more, just some storylines here, if there's some things and stuff to talk about, of course. The other one being, stop asking us to sign TJ or trade for JJ Watt.
Please.
Can't afford him. And then what are you going to do? You're gonna sit Cam Hayward? I tweeted that, by the way. Like, you're sitting that guy. You're going to sit that guy to bring in J.J. Watt, who is 3 months older and probably costs more. I don't know. I know Cam makes a decent amount of money, but
Cam makes some change.
Yeah, so does Stephon Tuitt. You're not putting in, and Stephon Tuitt was AFC Defensive Player of the Week last week.
Here's the only scenario that it makes sense for T.J. Watt to come here. Or not T.J. T.J.'s already here. J.J. The only way it makes sense is if J.J. accepts that he's not going to start. He's going to play as depth and that the Texans eat most of his salary. So that actually
he's
got to
be released or traded. People are like, well, what if Bud Dupree leaves? And it's like, J.J.'s
That's not
bigger.
The position that J.J. Watt plays.
Yeah, he's not standing up. He's got his hand in the dirt. I mean, you know,
he's
there's a transition.
He's not an outside
there.
Linebacker, guys.
No. You want him to be an edge defender.
You don't want to see him dropping back into coverage.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's, what, 32 now? So, I mean, these guys aren't all spring chickens here.
It would be fun. There's no question about it. It would be fun to have all the Watt brothers here, but you got to be realistic.
Not realistic.
And the only way it's going to happen is if he's willing to be a depth player. He's not going to start over Tuitt or over Cam Hayward.
Absolutely. That's it. Case closed.
Yep.
Till next time, my name's Joe, his name's Brian. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and we tell everyone out there, as we usually do, to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.